This is the Inno the Buzz podcast, helping smart businesses be even more innovative.
Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Welcome to episode number 72 of the Inno the Buzz podcast. In this episode today, my guest is Andrew Yap of Medtasker, who is the CEO and the founder. Now, Medtasker is a mobile communication and care coordination platform for hospitals that improves patient safety and hospital efficiency. Andrew is a medical doctor who became frustrated at the inefficiencies in the hospital communication process and workflow. Reliant as it was on pager, fax and phone, still today in the 21st century. So he decided to do something about it. We talked about how he came up with the solution to the problem that he identified, and also about the challenges his new company is facing and how they are dealing with those challenges. Without further ado, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Andrew Yap of Medtasker. Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm excited today to have with me from Melbourne in Australia on this episode of the InnovaBuzz podcast, Andrew Yap, who is the CEO and founder of Medtasker. Andrew is a medical doctor who recognized the need to improve communication processes in the healthcare industry, and he developed Medtasker as a result of that. So welcome to the podcast, Andrew. It's a great privilege to have you here.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jürgen.
So now Alistair Michener from Drawboard suggested that I get you on the podcast. So a big shout out to Alistair and thank you. And just by way of introduction, Medtasker is an application or a set of applications that aim to provide safer healthcare communication via a medical communication platform that enables task management as well as alerts and all kinds of other things for the medical professionals in hospital settings. But we'll hear more about that from Andrew shortly. And I'm really looking forward to hearing more about that. But before we do that, Andrew, let's find out a little bit more about your background and what you got you into the position you are now. So what were some of the key milestones that formed your journey to founding Medtasker?
Right. Well, I guess I never thought I would ever do anything like this. And during medical school, I wanted to do nothing more than trauma, emergency and intensive care medicine. And it was just out of the sheer frustration out of the inefficiencies in hospitals as a junior doctor that I was like, sure, there must be something that can be done. And I remember I was working at a large major metropolitan hospital in Melbourne after the first 3 years. And during that time, you know, I tried a number of small things, tried to get things off the ground. I spoke to my supervisors who are other doctors, and they didn't really know who to contact because, you know, my frustrations were around, why? This is the 21st century. We are using pager, fax, and phone as the main forms of communication in this organization. You know, like, what is going on? We have the personal, everyone in their personal lives has the benefits of their smartphones, and we come to work and we're bound by these really inefficient modalities. And so I end up having to pitch to the deputy CEO of the hospital, who took some of who took the meeting, surprisingly enough, and allowed me to work in IT under one of the execs for 6 months. And we looked for a solution like Medtasker, but it didn't exist. And so after trying to get other companies to build it, you know, we pitched big electronic medical record companies, big telecom companies, big paging companies, and a whole range of them. We wrote a spec, gave it to them, nothing happened. I decided to take it for myself to start a company and try to make a difference myself.
There's a lot, so much to like about that. So, you know, clearly a frustration, clarify what the need is, look at, you know, possible solutions and the opportunity to actually do something, and then going out and doing it, and particularly, you know, not taking no for an answer. So it must have been a bit frustrating going to some of the big companies that had the wherewithal to develop something like this and then not really
getting an enthusiastic response.
Yeah, and I mean, you can understand that from big companies, you know, taking risks and developing new products, it needs to make a significant dent to their bottom line, right? For them to even consider doing something. And, you know, if you're doing market education, telling people about an entirely new way of doing something, you know, there is a significant risk. And so, you know, the big guys, they probably just want to, well, either incorporate their product later on once the market has been developed and say, hey, with the big guys, we do all this and it's all inclusive, or just, you know, acquire someone that's already broken and made the market.
Yeah, that's right. So how did you go about then kind of getting started and getting the expertise and the people to do the work?
Yeah, that was no short trip. That took about 12 months, or at least. So what happened was I was working kind of in IT at the hospital. I still do clinical work on the side to help pay my way. And I went out and I looked to learn about technology. You know, I'm interested in technology, but I didn't have any formal education or know anything about programming. And I said, well, if I want to start a health technology company, I better learn something about technology. And so kind of what I did was I was working clinical during the day between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. I would go to a couple of meetups to learn about technology and entrepreneurship. And then I would spend my nights between 9 and about midnight or 1 a.m. At a co-working space in Melbourne, kind of just working on the project, and all the while I was trying to meet people. And I ended up finding my co-founder, Bernard, at a meetup, actually, because he was talking about continuous integration, continuous deployment, continuous testing. And I thought that was something that would be key, and I never thought he'd really want to do anything, because he spent kind of 25 years in enterprise IT, you know, building credit card fraud detection systems in Silicon Valley, and then coming around doing enterprise consulting, that someone like that would want to do a startup. But you know, after getting to know each other, a bit of courting for 3 to 6 months, we ended up getting married. And as you know, it's pretty much the, you know, from a business perspective, getting married. And so, you know, we've been happily married as business partners for nearly 3 years now. But that's kind of how we started the team. And so with Bernard and myself, we're working out of co-working spaces, and slowly the team's built up. So now we're eight staff members with a couple of extra contractors on the side, you know, working to really make a difference in healthcare.
Yeah, that's a great story, and it's highlights the importance, I think, in startups of choosing carefully, getting into partnerships, but choosing carefully as well. So not just expertise, but as you say, you know, a good personal fit there. You use the analogy of marriage. So tell us. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Sorry. Yep. I think we just had a bit of feedback, but that's all right. Now, the other thing I forgot to mention is that, you know, during that time, I went out to a number of app development companies, spoke to people who wanted to potentially do joint ventures. Ultimately, there was three or four that did, but I felt that if we were going to be at the core a technology company, that we need to kind of have that expertise in house. And so that's kind of how I ended up, you know, opting to kind of find a co-founder as opposed to kind of co-founding with a app development company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us a little bit more then about Medtasker and what it does.
Absolutely. So Medtasker is a mobile communication and care coordination platform for hospitals that improves patient safety and hospital efficiency. What it does is it really provides hospital managers unprecedented visibility into hospital operations, which is currently lost by pager, fax, and phone. And for the clinicians themselves on the ground, it just allows them to do their job more effectively, more safely. So you can send tasks, communications, and other types of messages through the Medtasker mobile app. It replaces pages. It also you know, integrates with all the core hospital systems, be it the electronic medical record, the pathology radiology system, and allows those systems to communicate directly with the clinician currently looking after the patient. Because what is core about MedTasker is knowing exactly which doctor is looking after each patient. Sounds crazy, but that is the trick. And so once we know who is looking after each patient, we can then route communications, alerts, notifications to the right person first time.
Hmm. So I think in the introduction video on your website, you kind of stepped through that. That was quite interesting. You stepped through the whole process and how it was different to the traditional process. And I think, you know, if you look at that and you consider what the traditional process is, as you said, with pager, fax and phone, and imagine yourself in a critical medical situation, it's pretty scary.
Yeah, I mean, I think the nobody intentionally goes out there to cause harm, but the systems and processes that are there, sometimes the holes line up, and there's this Swiss cheese model of medical errors where you know, those holes in that cheese sometimes line up, and that's where something disastrous happens. And you know, if we can do just these small little things to prevent that, as well as provide patients faster care and safer care, then you know, in our opinion, that's a great thing.
Hmm. So walk us through kind of a typical process then, as it would be different to, say, current. So I imagine currently, you know, my own experience in a hospital, the medical team comes up and they've got clipboards and they've got documentation there, which is patient history and other information that they need to do their job. And then, but that's a physical document, so that the next time perhaps a different medical team or different doctor comes along because it's a different shift, then they've got to physically get that documentation from somewhere and they've got to write on what they did for the next person and so on. And so there's all this potential for delay. So you're removing all of that, right, in MedTasker?
It is, but it's probably not through documentation. So that's generally where the electronic medical record sits. Mm. Where MedTasker sits is in the communication of those plans. So, for example, that electronic medical record or the paper record, as is the case in many Australian hospitals, might say, all right, Jürgen needs to go to theatre to have his appendix taken out, so an appendicectomy this afternoon. But in order to make that appendicectomy happen, there's a whole machine behind the scenes. So we need to tell the nurse patient needs to be fastened, need to call the anaesthetist and get that person to come and assess the patient. We need to call theatre and let them know that there's a new patient that's been added to the emergency list. We need to then organise specific pathology, radiology tests to be taken. And then when the time comes, you know, physically someone to wheel you around, someone to, you know, take you back. And so on and so forth. So at the moment, MedTasker really does point-to-point communication. So it streamlines those communications. But in the future, what happens is we're looking at making it into a workflow management tool. So you can, you know, certain things like, for example, the blood's taken will trigger the next thing, which is, okay, now, yes, the blood collector has taken it down to pathology. Okay, yep. The pathology result is back. It pings it straight to the doctor to let them know. So that's kind of the automated workflows we're working towards.
Hmm. No, no.
Excuse me. But you were mentioning kind of the current workflow around communications, and that's, you know, as an example. Say I'm the nurse looking after the patient, and I need to and it's after hours. It's in the middle of the night, and I need to contact the doctor. Not sure who's on. So what happens is I call Switchboard. Switchboard then looks through a massive Excel spreadsheet of who is currently on call, or a whiteboard, which may be either on the phone or printed out for everyone. They will then find the right pager number. You then go to a computer. You then type in their pager number. You page them, send them a message, and you wait by the phone until they call you back. Sometimes they don't call you back. If they do call you back, sometimes it's the wrong person. You then call Switchboard again, repeat, rinse, repeat. You page them, they page you, and an hour later, you might get in contact. And we're trying to subvert that.
Hmm. Yeah, well, that's definitely a very clear need there, and opportunity to actually improve the whole workflow, as you say. And it sounds pretty exciting in terms of, you know, building in a lot of that automation. Because I think, you know, there's a lot of that happens in IT right now. And as you say, with the technology we have, why couldn't you do it in medical terms? So, you know, test results send through automatically when it's done, triggers the next action, which is an alert to go to somebody to have a look at the test results and do whatever they need to do based on those.
Exactly.
Hmm. So in terms of getting the word out and getting some sales, getting this into hospitals, I know you've got a couple of hospitals on board that are trialing it, is my understanding. Hmm. What's your kind of process for actually building the sales of it?
Yeah, so as you can imagine, the medical industry is pretty risk averse, and technology is something that's, it's not foreign, but it's not something that's necessarily readily embraced all the time. And so in order for us to even, as a young company, even have a conversation with a large tertiary hospital, you need to be providing over 10 times the functionality and benefits that their existing system has, or really the nearest competitor of a major established player. And so, you know, with that in mind, it took us a while. We started in mid 2014, officially as a company. At the end of 2015, we started a 2-month trial, then converted, and they ended up purchasing MedTasker. So we're rolling out at the moment, going live in a fortnight, at that organization. And so, you know, the sales cycle in healthcare, specifically for hospitals, or I imagine government as well, is really quite long, and that is an absolute challenge. So that's one of the things that we're really working on is speeding up that sales cycle, getting the benefits and the product in the hands of the clinicians and the managers as early as possible, so they can really see that value.
Yeah. Okay. Now you mentioned their competitors. So do you have competition out there now? Are there other people that have developed stuff that, you know, you said earlier on that you didn't find anything when you kind of were looking for essentially for commercial products that you could use to do this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are lots of competition. So the competition, one of the competition's current state, so paging and paper. Mm-hmm. And so that's...
Do
that's
nothing. Yeah, that's always competition.
And it is actually the biggest competitor at the moment. The other competitor would be large electronic medical record systems that say, hey, we do a version of task management. And the main difference is... And similar to an electronic medical record is do-it-yourself. So hospitals are often... a number of organizations have developed kind of SharePoint sites that essentially have a task list. Similar to Asana or Trello or something that people go and intermittently check. But the point of difference with MedTask is really role-based communication. So knowing exactly which doctor is looking after the patient over a 24-hour period of time, which can be, it could be 5 doctors looking after one patient over that period of time, and being able to send things to the right person. So that's kind of the main point of difference. In terms of other competitors, yeah, there is a few other task management systems that have been designed in other areas. So not for healthcare, but for orderlies, you know, for PSAs to move patients around the hospital. There are other kind of systems that dabble in task management that do other functions in the hospital, but nothing that really integrates with all of the systems and glues it all together. And then again, repeating myself, allowing people to get the right information at the right time.
Mm-hmm. So I imagine in terms of the sales process, it's pretty important for you to be visible at trade shows and exhibitions and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that was a major channel that we used last year. So after we had completed our trial and there was lots of positive feedback from that, we then, so it was the kind of first year we really started going out and marketing. So we went to a number of conferences and trade shows, which were all really beneficial. The other thing is really now we've started to build the team and had a lot of experienced, you know, business development people join us, specifically worked in healthcare. And so, you know, this year we're changing things up a bit. We kind of announced ourselves to the market. Yes, trade shows is absolutely one of the number one points difference, but, you know, like every other company, you know, there's web presence, there's, you know, online, there's advertising, there's a whole range of other channels that we will, you know, marketing channels that we will we'll touch on this year.
And you mentioned earlier that, you know, you were kind of burning the candle at both ends, if you like, to fund this. So is it totally self-funded, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we, for a long time, we were self-funded, myself and my business partner, Bernard. It was just us putting in our capital. I was in quite a fortunate position because I was able to work, again, burn the candles, work during the weekends as a doctor and help fund it. And then we did a friends and family and then a small capital raise early this year. So now, we've taken on external funding as of this year.
Okay. So that puts a bit of added pressure on you.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I don't think that we have no way kind of oversold where we're aiming to go with the capital that we've raised. So so I think I'm confident that we'll, you know, we'll be able to hit our milestones and, you know, it'll get us to the next kind of point where we'll need to get our business done. So
So general question then, what do you think the biggest trap is for people that have ideas like this and, you know, that they then kind of fall into when trying to sell that new idea? Because obviously, you know, you've highlighted a couple of challenges that you've had.
That's a great question, Jürgen. I think it's not necessarily fully grasping, for me anyway, how hard it was going to be. You know, I didn't do the typical startup, which is, well, the typical startup, I guess, philosophy is don't do, build it, and will they come? You know, you should, you know, rapidly iterate and try to, you know, sell it to customers and get them to pay for development and so on and so forth. But I guess sitting on the other side of that, so many companies have come and promised things, and then when they kind of really got into the nuts and bolts of what actually needed to happen, it was either way over budget or, you know, super delayed or so on and so forth. So I guess one of the biggest challenges is just not fully grasping or understanding, you know, the healthcare industry, specifically health IT industry, and how it works. And I mean, I don't know whether, I absolutely love the path that I'm on, but the question is, if I had known, you know, how much of this challenge, without the learnings that I had along the way, this, you know, starting this business was going to be, you know, would I have done it? I don't know. But having done it now and learning, I absolutely, you know, love this, you know, every day that you're learning something new. So I guess, you know, if you don't, you know, if you're underestimating, you know, I think that's a big thing that I see, and definitely something I did, was underestimate the challenge of starting a business in healthcare.
But I think there are a couple of key messages in that though. And, you know, the first one for me, and I'm talking to people all the time about understand your target market, understand the audience you're talking to, understand your ideal customer. And, you know, so maybe I'm listening out for that, but I think I heard you say that, you know, understanding of the industry was critical here, and probably it might even be more critical with healthcare because of the unique challenges than it is in perhaps other industries, although I suspect it just manifests itself in a different way. It's still critical everywhere. But, you know, really understanding the target market and what is the need. And, you know, because you come from the industry and you're still in the industry, still practicing medicine in a hospital. So, you know, you're seeing it every day. So I think that's a real critical one. And the other one that I took out from what you said was the perseverance, having the perseverance to, you know, when things go wrong or when you get pushback and, you know, you're struggling to help people understand that, you know, there's a change here that will actually benefit them, that you still persevere.
Yeah, that's spot on, Jagger.
All right. Now, there was one other thing that came to mind there when you said that. What was that? Oh, we might come back to that later. Oh, the lean startup thought you had. Yeah. I imagine this is really tough in this kind of application. You've got to have a working prototype, I would think. You've got to kind of have something to demonstrate to people there. So, you know, I think the lean startup is a great idea, but having that balance between, you know, what's the minimum viable product or prototype that you have to put in people's hands so that they can see it, feel it, you know, experience it in order to actually convince them that there's something of value there and then to actually pay you for that value.
Yeah, that's right. Some of the things that come to mind around security and reliability in healthcare, and there's a certain amount of work that needs to be done to get through that hurdle. And then the other big thing is integration with existing hospital systems, and that is another key part. And you know, the question is, can it be done without any of those things? Absolutely, but is it enough to convince the hospitals? In our experience, it wasn't. So we had to build up that integration infrastructure. We'd obviously had to do the security stuff first, as well as the reliability aspect. But integration was a big challenge. But you know, we've now overcome it, which is great.
Mm. All right. So what's your biggest worry right now? What keeps you awake at night other than working a second job?
It's probably how we're going to grow the team to, you know, without losing the great feel that we currently have. So, you know, we've got 8 people, and I don't know what the magic number is, but there is a number where the interactions with every team member just it gets more difficult as you grow. And this is just something purely to do with numbers, and every company that gets past, you know, 20 people absolutely kind of faces. But at the moment, that's kind of the stage that we're at, where we're growing the team and trying to keep that same culture, try to keep, you know, everyone super up to date as to what's happening so that everyone's involved. And I think that's, you know, I'm just trying to figure out and how to navigate that challenge at the moment.
Hmm. Yeah, well, actually, you've raised a really good point there, because I think that's a challenge that, most companies have this challenge, but I think it's particularly big for startups that grow very rapidly. So I imagine, you know, you and your co-founder have this vision, have a passion for it. You know, you've obviously come to an understanding and you're on the same page. How do you, when you build a team, say in a year or a couple of years from 2 people to 8 people in total, how do you kind of manage the culture and build that culture that reflects, you know, your vision for the business and keeps the drive and the passion alive throughout the whole team?
Yeah, no, that's it. Like, a couple of times we've tried to stop and think very consciously about the types of company we want to build. I mean, it was right at the start and we were just super busy, you know, getting stuff done. And then we, over Christmas, New Year, again, just passed, we had another bit of a deep dive into that, so that we were able to really solidify the foundations, you know, with the team So as we start moving forward, it's an ongoing evolving process, but as we start moving forward, you know, we'll be able to have everyone on board and everyone kind of embracing, you know, the way that we want to operate and work and be together.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, this has been really good. I think it's time we got on to the buzz, which is our innovation round, and it's designed to help our audience who are primarily innovators and leaders in their respective fields with some tips from your own experience. So I've got a series of five questions I'll ask you. Yep. Hopefully we'll get some really insightful answers and people will get inspired and go and do something awesome as a result.
Righto.
All right. So what's the number one thing you think anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
I think it's just immerse yourself in the area in which you want to do something, you know. Spend time, shadow people, you know, try to work in their shoes or be in their shoes as much as possible. And then go and try to do something in a completely different industry, but with some similarities and try to take what you know from there and apply it to what you want to improve.
Mm. Yeah, that's great advice. And I think it sort of encapsulates something that I kind of try to bear in mind all the time, which is, you know, if you see something working for somebody that might be totally unrelated to your industry, but if you can deconstruct the strategy of why that's working and apply it to your particular industry, that's often really useful. Mm-hmm. All right, what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas or new products?
That's kind of similar to the first mm-hmm. question, I reckon, yeah. Which is pretty much go and be in the shoes and try to learn. So I tried to immerse myself in technology. I'm interested in technology, but I didn't know a lot about it. And I spent probably a year and a half. I started a master's in IT and ended up giving it up because you could learn better online and faster from other people by doing. So just kind of. I don't know if it's to develop a new idea or product, but just absolutely immerse myself in, you know, whatever it is that you're doing so that these ideas just pop in every now and then.
Yeah, that's really great advice. And I like what you say about, I guess it's probably wouldn't be recommended in the medical arena, but IT, there's so much you can learn online these days. I think some of the universities maybe struggle to keep up to date and keep their courses relevant.
I mean, it's scary to say, but there are plenty of operations on YouTube and you can and you can understand the steps. You obviously can't operate whilst in YouTube, but you can understand the steps of an operation just by watching a YouTube video. So,
yeah.
Scary.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, what's your favorite tool or system for improving your own productivity and allowing you to be more innovative or deal with team culture or whatever might be top of your list of priorities right now?
Well, that one's pretty easy. So, in terms of improving productivity, it's just lists. So, however the list may be, it might be on paper, it might be in Trello, it might be in Evernote for me, but lists are just the number one thing that I do for productivity and ticking those things off. In terms of a favorite tool for kind of innovation and things, it's pretty much pen and paper and sketching and doing things quickly and just modeling things and then giving it off to the right people who are able to transform that into new products and stuff.
Mm. That's fascinating. I had to smile there because, you know, a technology, leading edge technology company, and the CEO says, oh, pen and paper is my favorite tool. But, you know, having said that, I've just recently come back. I've moved my office and I put up a big whiteboard. And the thing I like doing most is actually getting up on the whiteboard and, as you say, sketching out an idea and drawing flow charts and how things work. And then I end up taking a photo of that and putting it in my online systems. And I've started doing the same. I've started getting some free drawing apps onto my tablet. So I started using that as you know, a free drawing thing for flowcharts and so on.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of lists. I'm sort of a real big fan of lists as well. So, all right, well, let's move on to the next one, which is what's the best way to keep a project on track?
That's a good question. Very apt for our business. So, you know, even though we are a subscription based, we sell on a subscription kind of license. It is a big implementation project. Not so much from the technology side. There's a bit of integration and setting up the system, depending whether they want the system to be on premises or in our government-approved data center. But change management is the biggest component for us. Hospital may have 5,000 staff, and they may need to be trained in Medtasker. Yeah. It's easy to use, but there's still a component of training and keeping things on track. I wasn't very good at, so I found a guy that really was. So Jonathan, who's our project manager, he's the glue for the project. Mm-hmm. So the best way to keep a project on track is to get someone who knows and lives and breathes it and has lots of experience doing it.
So good project manager.
Yep.
Okay. That's great advice. I might come back to talking about your change management and training and onboarding process, but I'll do number five first, which is what's the number one thing anyone could do to differentiate themselves?
Yeah, I think that is tough, I think. Mm. Especially as someone who in medicine, there's a lot of smart people in medicine. Everyone comes out, does various subspecialties or degrees, but at the end of the day, we've come through and we've been socialized and we end up being a specialist in whatever field, but you haven't really differentiated yourself. And there's some simple things that people do in healthcare to do it. They do some research, they do some X, Y, and Z. But I think it's, for me, it is, what is your passion? Find that passion, do that passion, live it and breathe it. And then people will know you for it. So, that's, I guess, my thinking and two cents on the matter.
Mm. Yeah, that's great advice. So find your passion and live it and breathe it. I think that's excellent advice, particularly your lead in, you talked about the medical industry and, I mean, people there, if doctors particularly, if they're really keen on a career path, they either go sort of the general practice route, which typically puts them in with thousands of other people, or they go a specialist route and then they're differentiating themselves by way of what they do. But it's, I think, sometimes the finding your passion bit might be missing there.
And it's easier said than done. Like it's really hard to do. But if you're able to do it, that is, that's great.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for that, Andrew. Thanks for getting us through the innovation round. Now, you mentioned there, so Medtasker is a subscription-based thing, but obviously there's a fairly big setup process to be done. So there's an onboarding process you have. Mm-hmm. And part of that onboarding is also dealing with the change management. So talk us a little bit through that, because I'm fascinated by that. You said that the software is easy to use and it's probably fairly easy to train someone in using the software, but training them to change the way they think about how the whole process works, how do you deal with that part?
Yeah, that's, I guess, our goal is to be kind of the gold standard in the process of communication. And so, the technology, as much as, practical and easily as practical, kind of enforces best practice in communication. So for example, one of the change processes, so with a pager, there's 150 characters of free text, a bit like a tweet, and you can type in whatever it is that you want. It might, and often it's missing critical bits of information like who the patient is or where they are in the hospital or what's wrong or how to get further information, simple who, what, where, when, hows. So MedTasker, you know, mandates specific information in a really user-friendly way. It pulls information from the source of truth, such as the electronic medical record, to minimize duplication of, you know, double entry of data, all that kind of thing. So the, you know, the technology in itself helps with change management, but then it's just changing people's habits, which is really hard. So, you know, it may be that for 20 years I've been working at this hospital, and the thing that I do to communicate is go and open this paging system. But now it is, you know, two clicks further, it's in MedTasker, so on and so forth. So, I mean, there's not, we can only do what we can to for change management. So that's, you know, training, you know, good communications with all staff via the internal channels, you know, making the app easy to use, that kind of stuff. But, you know, change management is, you know, we're a technology to help improve a process, but, you know, unless people actually, you know, change and adopt that process, then there's only limited value in which we can have.
Hmm. Okay. All right. So what's the future then you see for MedTasker?
Well, we're looking, hopefully have some exciting announcements in the next year. So keep your ears tuned. You know, we're, you know, looking at deploying to a couple of sites and so on and so forth. So, you know, that's kind of in our immediate horizon. But I guess in the future for healthcare more generally, I think we've gotten to this point where hospitals, you know, there's just so much need. It can't be met with existing resources and, you know, both people and money. And so, you know, everyone's looking for new ways in which to make a difference. And so I think technology is one of those things that can help. Not the only thing, but absolutely one of the things that can help. And so I think in the next kind of 5 years, there's going to be massive changes in terms of systems, processes, technologies that will really help improve the quality of life for everyone in the world.
Hmm. Well, that sounds pretty exciting. I look forward to hearing about those new applications and also new hospitals, I guess, that are on board with your system. I imagine that once you get a number on board, that the momentum might start to build. It might be easier to get others on board.
Yeah, often the question we get is, oh, so where is it being used? Can you see it? And so it's a bit of a chicken and egg. But we will definitely have some reference sites. So, yeah, that should become a lot easier.
Okay. So in conclusion then, what's the number one piece of advice you'd give to any business owner that wants to be a leader in their field and perhaps go down this path of, you know, starting up a new idea and turning that into a commercial product?
Right. I'm going to cheat and try to give two pieces. One is really persistence. So like we mentioned before, you know, having the grit and persistence to kind of see it through its ups and downs, because there are many and plenty of those. And the second thing is really continual learning, like always try to find better ways of doing things, be it the way you communicate, be it the way you work with your team, be it the way your product works. You know, always try to find ways to do things better. And that will, for me anyway, it's managed me to get so far. So, yeah, that's something I would absolutely try to pass on.
Okay. Well, that's great advice. And we got a bonus tip there as well. So thanks a lot for your time today, Andrew. This has been really fantastic. I've really enjoyed this. I've learnt quite a bit in terms of, you know, your approach to launching this product and how you're going forward. So thanks for sharing your time and insights with us today. Where can people reach out and say thank you?
Yeah, so you can get me on Twitter at Dr. Andrew Yap, Dr. Andrew Yap, or via email, info@medtasker.com.
All right, and we'll post those links in the show notes so that people can have easy access to it. So thanks again, Andrew. It's been really great. I've enjoyed this and learnt quite a bit, as I said. So I wish you all the best for the future of MedTasker, and let's keep in touch.
Definitely. Thanks, Jürgen. Really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Have a good day.
I hope you enjoyed hearing from Andrew as much as I enjoyed interviewing him. I find it inspiring to hear from someone who was frustrated by what he saw as a problem, but rather than complaining, set about designing and implementing a solution for that problem. All of the great ideas and tips that Andrew shared with us today can be found at innovabiz.com.au/medtasker. That is MEDTASKER. All lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.com.au/medtasker. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with the team at MedTasker there. Now, we'd love you to leave comments on the post, on the blog post that corresponds to this podcast. We'd really like you to tell us what you've got out of this episode and what actions you might take as a result. We've been inspired by Andrew, and I'm sure it will be inspiring for our guest to hear back that he has made a difference in somebody else's business. Make sure you subscribe to the InnovaBuzz podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or Pocket Cast so you'll never miss a future episode. We'd also love you to go to one of those sites and leave us a review as well, just to let us know how we're doing. If there's anything you'd like us to cover or questions you want answered on a future InnovaBuzz podcast, then please send them to us. Also, if you have any guests that you think we should invite onto the podcast and you'd like to hear from, let us know that as well. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, if you don't innovate, you stagnate. So think big, be adventurous, and keep innovating.